Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Revealing the truth about the Quran in the light of revealing the truth about Islam. Hello, dear brothers and sisters, greeting to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my joy to continue studying, revealing the truth about the Quran with you. Muslim claim in the West that the Holy Quran mention no corruption shall touch it from any side. The Holy Quran has remained unchanged, not altered an iota during all these 1400 years. It shall remain so until the final day, the day of judgment. For God, Allah, has taken it on himself to protect it. Also, Muslim claim the Quran was recorded in writing as well as in the memory of many people in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, and was compiled in a book form according to his direction by his companions shortly after his death. When you hear such a statement, you'll be shocked to know this is just a statement without facts. This is a statement without any verification. It is the opposite of the reality of the truth of what the Muslims have taught me personally in Egypt in the Muslim school. And I'm thankful to God that He allowed us to have this program in such time to learn the truth about the Quran, to learn the truth about Islam, to expose such lies which Muslims teach all over the West. Was the Quran ever put in a one book form according to Muhammad's direction? Was there always one Quran exist in Islam in the Muslim days history? Or this is a lie? And that's what we'll be covering today in our broadcast in Revealing the Truth About the Quran. It is easy, my dear brothers and sisters, to claim and to teach whatever you wish to teach. But unless you have the evidence and the proof of what you're teaching, it is nothing but a lie. It is nothing but hot air. It is very easy for Muslims in the West to teach whatever they like about their Quran, because simply they are depending on the ignorance of the Western to such a book and to the history which is already recorded in many books by many Muslim scholars. Is the Quran a perfect book without any change or any corruption? Let's look together in such topic. I would like to share with you the true story of the gathering of the Quran in a book form after Muhammad died. As a matter of fact, the day Muhammad died, many of the Arab Muslim left Islam. Imagine with me, all these Arab who were forced into Islam under the dictatorial leadership of Muhammad. When Muhammad died, the day he died, they left Islam and they became a free people. We're not talking about some foreigners left Islam, but Arab, those who lived with Muhammad, those who know Muhammad, those who know the Quran in its origin language, those who hold their belief and their stand to Islam without any hesitation, those are the ones who left Islam. This reminds me of a verse in the Quran, 49:14. The Quran stated, the Bedouins said, we believed. Say, you did not believe, but say, we are Muslim, and the faith has not entered your heart. Notice, my dear brothers and sisters, we're not talking about some foreigners here. We're talking about Arab. We're talking about the Bedouin, those who understand the Quran, those who clearly know Muhammad very well. Those are people who lived with Muhammad, did business with Muhammad, they know everything about Muhammad. These are the ones Muhammad mentioned in the Quran. And he's telling them, you did not believe in me, but you surrendered. The word became Muslim here means surrender. You did not believe in Islam. You did not believe in the message of the Quran. You saw my sword. You were afraid, and that's why you accept Islam. I know you do not believe in Islam, as you know, and it is only because of fear you accepted me as a prophet. And these are the people who left Islam the day Muhammad died. Not a week later, but the day Muhammad died. We can see another verse in the Quran which clearly teach us that so many people accepted Islam, believed in Islam, surrendered to Muhammad, not because they believe, but only resulting of fear. Like what? Let's look at this next verse in the Quran. In Quran chapter 5 verse 41, Allah said, O you messenger, do not let those who hasten to infidelity grieve you. Of those who say with their mouth, we believed, but their heart do not believe. Yes, indeed, there was many of the people who believed in Muhammad. They believe because of fear, not because they accept Islam in their heart. They say it with their lips, but they did not mean what they say in their heart. And those are the Muslims who left Islam the day Muhammad died. We can see this also clearly in one more verse in Quran chapter 5 verse 61 said, And when they come to you, they said, We believed. And indeed, they entered with infidelity and they left with it. And Allah knows best what they were doing. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, here the Quran clearly teach about all those people who said they believe in Muhammad, who said they are Muslim, but they were never a Muslim. Because obviously none of these people believed in Muhammad to be a prophet. None of these people believe in the Quran to be the word of God. They know there is no truth in Islam. And Muhammad died. And the day Muhammad died, these people left Islam. And that was the beginning of the first war, the beginning of the first civil war, where Muslims who stay in Islam fight and kill Muslims who left Islam. And that's what they taught me in the school in Egypt, which we call the war of apostasy, the war of those who apostate from Islam, the war to bring back the honor of Islam, the honor killing. Yes, indeed. You know, it is so hard in America to talk about honor killing. And even when some TV station like Fox News spoke about honor killing, quickly they turned it to be a culture thing. Have nothing to do with Islam. Have nothing to do with the Quran. Have nothing to do with Allah or Muhammad teaching. No, my dear brothers and sisters. Honor killing is the teaching of the Quran. As we can read this together in the Quran. By the way, this verse is repeated 3 times in the Quran. Here is the honor killing, America. It is not a culture. It is Islam. And the proof is very simple. When Muslims leave Islam, their family kill them. But when Christian or Jew leave Christianity or Judaism and become Muslim, their family does not kill them. Another proof that honor killing only exists in Islam and have nothing to do with culture. When a female commit adultery in the Middle East from the Muslim family, they kill her. But when a young lady from a Christian family fall into the sin of adultery, her family does not kill her, even though they both live in the same culture, in the same city. And here is the teaching of the Quran, to know that honor killing belong to the Quran, belong to Islam, and have nothing to do with culture. Chapter 6, verse 151, and the verse is repeated in Quran chapter 17, 33, and in Quran chapter 25, 68. And Allah said, And do not kill the soul which Allah forbids, except with a just cause. Do not kill the soul which Allah forbid. All Muslim scholar interpretation, the soul which Allah forbid is the Muslim soul, the Muslim believers. You don't kill the Muslim except for a just cause. What is a just cause? You go to the interpretation of all Muslim scholars and they will tell you. They repeated the words of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, as it mentioned in Hadith Bukhari, volume 9, Hadith number 17, when Muhammad said, The blood of a Muslim cannot be shed except in 3 cases. Murder, adultery, and the one who became an apostate from Islam. Muslim cannot kill another Muslim except in 3 cases. If the Muslim kill a Muslim, that's commit a murder. If a Muslim commit adultery, or if a Muslim leave Islam, apostate, leave Islam. Well, guess what? That's exactly what all these Muslims did the day Muhammad died. They left Islam, they became an apostate, and therefore Khalifa Abu Bakr Siddiq, this is the first Khalifa who led the Muslim, who led the nation of Islam. This is the father-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, the man who gave his own child, 6 years old, to Muhammad to marry when Muhammad was 51 years old. He led the Muslim, the true Muslim, the true believers in Allah, the true believer in the word of the Quran. He led them to the first civil war, and there Muslim began to kill the Muslim who left Islam. And there began the history of the shed of blood. Believe it, my dear brothers and sisters, if you read the history of Islam, you would see nothing but a shed of blood, Muslim killing a Jew, Muslim killing Christian, Muslim killing atheist or agnostic, and Muslim killing Muslim.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus, and many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugarcoated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
This is the history of Islam, a gushing river of blood. Honor killing. Abu Bakr Siddiq killed all those who left Islam, those who apostate from Islam. During this war, Muslim who believe in the Quran, Muslim who memorize the Quran, Muslim who respect and honor the Quran, were killing those who left Islam, who did not believe in such a thing as to be a religion from heaven. As the war continued, many of the true Muslims, many of the true followers of the Quran, those who memorize the Quran, were killed. Then we have this conversation between Umar, the man who will lead the Muslim after the death of Abu Bakr Siddiq, which will be the second Khalifa, and Abu Bakr Siddiq himself. Umar went to Abu Bakr and he told him, "Oh Abu Bakr, we need to write the Quran in a book. We are losing the Quran. Many of the men who memorize the Quran are getting killed in this war." And Abu Bakr told him, "No, I cannot do that. How can I do something the Apostle of Allah never commanded me to do?" Are you listening, my dear brothers and sisters? Abu Bakr refused to put the Quran in a written form because he said Muhammad never commanded him to do so. That is exactly the opposite of what Muslims in the West try to teach us about the Quran. They all say what? They all say Abu Bakr, an early Muslim, put the Quran in a written form as has been described to them, as they were commanded by the Apostle of Allah Muhammad to put it together in a book form. That was the first lie. Abu Bakr argued with Umar that we cannot put the Quran in a written form simply because Muhammad never commanded us to do so. But then the war continued, and the war going longer and longer in time, and more Muslims were killed. And there Umar convinced Abu Bakr that they're in deep trouble. They're losing the Quran. And Umar was able to convince Abu Bakr Siddiq to put the Quran in a written form. That's why they both went to a man by the name Zayd ibn Thabit. And Zayd ibn Thabit was a man who Muhammad speak highly of as one of the people whom you can learn about the Quran. You can learn about the revelation of Allah. Listen to what Zayd ibn Thabit said to Abu Bakr. He said to him, "By Allah, if they had ordered me to shift one of the mountains, it would be easier for me. It would not have been heavier for me than this ordering me to collect the Quran. Why is that? Why is that, Zayd ibn Thabit? Why you don't want to put the Quran in written form? I saw Muslims are telling us here in the West, the Quran already recorded in writing. And it was memorized by people. It would be an easy job if this is the case. No, it is not. Then listen to what Zayd ibn Thabit said to Abu Bakr. How will you do something which the Apostle of Allah did not do? Abu Bakr replied, by Allah, it is a good project. Here we go one more time. Zayd ibn Thabit knew that the Apostle of Allah does not want them to put the Quran in a book form. And listen carefully. Why was this task so difficult for Zayd ibn Thabit? Muslim will tell you, because they're afraid. What if Zayd missed a word or two? What if he put a verse in the wrong place? What if? And that obviously is just a baloney answer. That's not true. Zayd ibn Thabit have a hard time and have difficulty to put the Quran in a written form, to collect the Quran, because of where he gets the Quran from. Listen carefully what material the Muslim used to put the Quran, to collect the Quran together. They then proceeded to collect the Quran from pieces of papyrus, flat stones, palm leaves, shoulder blades, and ribs of animals, pieces of leather, and wooden boards, as well as from the hearts of men. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, here is the problem for Zayd ibn Thabit. He does not have manuscripts, he does not have written chapters of the Quran, but he must collect the Quran from all these pieces of material, which it is so difficult. How in the world you can collect chapter 2, for example, which include 286 verses from all these pieces of material? And from the heart of man, which we know already during the war of apostasy, many of the men died, and what is memorized in their heart was buried with them. Many portions of the Quran have been lost during the war of apostasy. That's why it was hard. That's why it was difficult for Zayd ibn Thabit to collect the Quran from such material. And Muslims say, what? They do have the Quran in perfect condition? Is that true? The Quran never been changed, the Quran never been corrupted since it was written 1400 years ago? No, my dear brothers and sisters. That is a lie. Let me set the record once correct. For in Muhammad days, there was more than one Quran. Let me read to you a story which has been given to us by Muslim scholar. It said, a man recited a passage of the Quran in the presence of Omar, who corrected him. Then the man, upset, claimed to have recited for the Prophet, and he had not corrected him. They carried their dispute to Muhammad. The Prophet endorsed the man's claim. Muhammad then explained, all the modes of reciting are correct, so long as you do not turn a statement on mercy into one on wrath or vice versa. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, in Muhammad days, there were at least, according to Tabari and Jarir and all those Muslim scholars tell us, that even in Muhammad days, there were at least two Quran. For Umar have one recitation of the Quran, and the other man who is reciting the Quran before Umar have a different recitation. And Muhammad did not say one of them were wrong, but they were both correct. Let's add a little bit more to that. Muhammad disclosed that two angels had come to him. One said, recite the Quran in one form. Then other advised Muhammad to ask for more than this. That was repeated several times until finally the first angel said, very well, recite it, meaning the Quran, in seven forms. The Prophet said, each of the forms is grace-giving, protecting, so long as you don't terminate a punishment verse with an expression of mercy or vice versa. How did you like that? How don't you love that? That here in Muhammad days, not one Quran, not two Quran, but seven Quran. And some may say, well, different dialect. No, I'm not talking about different dialect, as you're going to see lately here. I'm talking about seven Quran. We can even see this clearly taught in the Quran. For Allah himself telling Muhammad, there are seven Qurans is given to Muhammad. As we read in Quran chapter 15 and verse 87, Allah said, and indeed we have given you 7 of the Methani and the Great Quran. The word Methani here in this verse is a non-Arabic word of Aramaic origin, and it means in the English language repeated. So in another word, we can read this verse by saying, and indeed, we have given you, meaning Muhammad, 7 of the repeated great Quran. 7 of the repeated great Quran. So what happened to these 7 Qurans? I mean, why we cannot have today 7 Quran of Allah? No. You see, my dear brother and sister, this was a problem in Osman ibn Affan days. Listen what the Muslim scholars teach us in their history books. The variation between the different reading of the Quran causes strife among early Muslims. Dispute arose about who had the superior version of the Quran. In response, Khalifa Osman ordered the correction of a single Quran, and he had all other copies burned. Did you just hear what I said? Khalifa Osman, this is the third Khalifa whom Muslims believe in him that to be a leader, a good spiritual leader, a good political leader, the third Khalifa burned the Qurans. He did not burn a copy in English or copy in some other language. He burned the original manuscript of the Quran. The 7 Quran which Allah and the Quran brag about, which Muslims used to have in the early days of Islam. And now we have 1 Quran because Osman burned all other Quran. And we're not finished yet with this study. For until we meet again, we will go more in detail about revealing the truth about the Quran. And until we meet again, may God bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.